You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Sven Iman from Gestalten Publishers in Berlin, and now we're talking.
Type Radio FM.
Now we're talking.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the 33 Point Conference in Dortmund, Germany. It's April 4th, 2009, and our guest is Sven Iman from Die Gestalten Verlag, the publishing company in Berlin. Are you religious?
No. Not at all, I must say. I grew up with a loose link to religion, but I never really found my way into it. Which doesn't mean that I don't care about it. I think it's an interesting phenomenon to a certain extent, good or bad, at times, but I'm personally not too interested in religion, for my own sake. And
do you have rituals?
Yeah. Certainly have routines, sort of how my day is kind of structured. I mean, some things are basically due to my own interest and I try to keep them going. Others are determined by having a child, for example, or having a job or having a certain place to live at. Yeah, and I think they also provide a certain level of comfort, and if you have a ritual, then you don't need to think about each and every step of a process, and you can focus on the content of the process.
Are you superstitious?
What does that mean, superstitious? What's that?
Well, for example, like if a black cat crosses your path, then you will...
Ah, okay. No. No. I might notice the kind of, ideas of superstition to a certain extent. I mean, I might be conscious about it, but I don't really give a damn on it.
Now you describe yourself as being part of the team in
Die Gestalten.
Yeah, but that's not the only project you're involved with.
That's true.
But there's also multiple projects, yeah. As I understand.
Yeah.
Can you tell us?
Yeah, it's. I mean, I always used to do several projects, so to say, at the same time. Even during I started. After school with an apprenticeship to become a photographer, and while doing that I was working for a newspaper, but not as a photographer but as a writer. There was always this sort of coexistence of different projects I was been working on, and right now it's Gestalten is the core of it, so it's between 60% and 80% of my work, and then I do work in like three other settings, more or less. One is an exhibition design company, one is a branding company, and one is another design studio where Nicolas Bocquin and myself are working together as like a creative team to, like, yeah, one project we did was that redesign for Domus magazine, the Italian architecture magazine, and we also did a couple of self-initiated projects. So basically it's somewhere in between research and following our own curiosities and the topics that we're interested in, and it had just recently also offered the opportunity of working for clients, so commercial projects.
But do you have a choice? Is there one thing, if you had to choose between, sorry, the camera comes closer, if you had to choose between one of the four, is there one thing you say, okay, I would like to do for the rest?
I don't feel as if I had to choose. And it's, I mean, we were talking about escapades the other day, and to me it is this going back and forth between those different projects that made it interesting. And I feel that one of the core qualities that I can bring to a project is that I know these other worlds. So when I started working for Gestalten, I had an experience in commercial advertising internet projects, and it helped to a certain extent to also initiate a discussion on doing projects with clients and not doing it for the sake of having a client, but finding the right clients to work with. And that's kind of something that has not existed within that context. Whereas the other way around, I bring, for example, a knowledge about design, contemporary design, to this exhibition company, which profits from that. And I'm kind of happy with that situation and exchange of ideas and knowledge from one to the other.
So it's you could possibly say that you need the one in order to function properly to do the other.
Somehow it is. I mean, I'm working on the, let's say, the first few steps of a project. Rarely, on rare occasions, I do follow all the way through until it's really sort of finished and printed or opened or whatever. But I feel that I'm most valuable in the beginning of a process. So when it comes to understanding the challenges, talking to clients, gathering information, giving a structure to it, and then my basic interest is finding what we often call a main idea, something that is not, it often is very simple, but it's something that helps selling an idea to a client or a publishing house or whoever, and then also giving a basic set of idea or rules to a team to work with. And then once that is kind of done, I very much like to come back every once in a while when it's kind of useful or needed to make sure that we're still on track, or that we know why we're not on track anymore. So, and that's, I mean, if you just work on that sort of little bit in the beginning, you need to make sure that you have a lot of projects to fill in the gaps.
Can you give an example, for example, the Data Flow book? How did that project work? Do you give the idea, let's do a book about data, or also are you involved in the content?
Well, the project to me started years before it actually became a project at Gestalten, because I had an interest in visualization of information, probably rooted in the time that I used to work in internet business, because then it was all about creating an interface to an amount of information. And that was an interest that was shared by like two people. One is Nicolas Bouquin, the guy that I'm working with at OnLab and etc. And the two of us were passing links every other day, you know, pointing at projects that we felt were interesting. And we also included some of those data visualization projects in our personal projects. The ETC readers in newspaper format always had a center double spread with information graphics on it. So we tried to somehow work with it. As a topic, it was, for a certain time, it was too theoretical for a Gestalten book, which is a publisher that is more focused on contemporary visual culture. And we were not doing any sort of didactic books on logos, on grids, on, you know, all these kind of text-heavy and didactic projects. But then, just as with the logo, the whole data visualization field has somehow developed further, and it was more and more experimental, more and more visually appealing, strong visuals. And then it became relevant and doable within Gestalten. And then the third person that came into the equation was a guy by the name Ferdi van Heerden, I don't know exactly what his job title is, but strategic consultant at IDEO in Munich, and used to work in different companies, was my client once, then was a colleague, now was a personal friend as well. But he's somebody who's got an intellectual approach to the topic, and has good knowledge about the existing literature. He was the one that pointed me out to Tufte's books, for example, in the first place. And so the three of us kind of discussed it and developed, and based on our initial research of material, structure for the book. And Nick was doing the layout. Nick and Thibault actually did the layout, and Ferdi was writing the text. So, and my role in that is, from coming up with the topic in this network of people, promoting it in a sense into the program of Gestalten, and then making sure that it somehow has a quality in the material, the content, and its appearance, and also works as a product in the market, which is an important balance. Very often you have books that are beautiful, but only 100 copies are there to be sold, which is a pity for a good book and the topic and all that, but it's a bit of an ongoing challenge, let's say.
Could you describe the publishing philosophy of the Gestalten? Can you name that?
Well, we're doing books that are very contemporary, visual culture, that ranges from graphic design now to furniture, architecture, art, fine art, urban art. And that it sort of is a steady but healthy growth in terms of contents we're interested in. And we're trying to do books that sell, books that work in the market. There's different ways of doing that. You can do books that are very, broad or very popular. I think we still definitely are a niche publisher, but we're conscious of the fact that we need to sell the books to make a living and to continue as a publishing house. And that's kind of what I said before. It's important to keep that balance. Know what a topic is, how you present it, you know, what format, what size, what price. If it is a book that can work internationally, because all our books need to sell on a global scale.
Do you think a book can be really show work that's really contemporary? Like, once it's in the book, it's already quite established. I mean, there is also the process of producing, collecting, and things take about a year or 2 years, maybe.
We're pretty quick. I mean, most of the books we do are done in, let's say, 6 month time frame, which is like a couple of magazines actually working. So we're having an ongoing research, and then 2 times a year we decide what kind of books we're doing. That's the 2 seasons almost of the year. And then for most of the titles is within the 6 months or 12 month maximum. So it's pretty quick. Obviously it's not as quick as anything that happens online, but I don't see too much of a competition between the two, because one is like being very quick and updated by the minute, whereas a book always, you know, takes a step back, looks at it either with a broader perspective or narrows it down, gives a little bit of extra content context to a topic. So I think it's still as contemporary, and it offers something that most sort of blogs, websites will probably not offer.
And would you consider yourself a trend watcher? Like, is that?
It certainly is some kind of what I'm doing. I mean, I'm continuously looking at visual work presented at the moment. I see it's interesting. We've just been doing a book with a company called the Future Laboratory, which are trend forecasters in the UK, and they work pretty much the same routines as we do, but their output is different. Where we do a book, say 8,000 copies for 30, 40 euros, they do 100 for 4,000 euros for a niche brand marketeers, basically, audience. And so, I mean, since our working process is so similar, I could consider myself a trend researcher, scout, whatever. The other thing is, though, that I'm not too passionate about actual trends in the sense of lifestyle trends anymore. I don't really care about it. I used to do an exhibition on sneakers, trainers, once, and worked for Adidas as a client before that, and I'm bored to death by lifestyle brand advertising, PR in magazines and all that. So that's probably why I feel I should distance myself a little bit from the term of trend in the context of lifestyle.
Is it too superficial for you now?
Yeah, it's not a moral issue, you know. I don't have a problem with superstition at certain points, but in this particular field I'm bored most of the times. It's a matter of a level of intelligence being involved in their communication and product. You know, I feel that a lot of those sportswear companies are they're not smart, really. You know, it's pretty predictable what they will be doing. Even though they're working with people that we might have in our books, I feel it doesn't have a real culture to it, and it's, as I said, it's very predictable, and that's something that I'm personally offended by.
Could you say that a love for books or a love for writing, a love for magazine, is your major motivation?
It certainly is a passion, no doubt, and it has been forever. I used to grow up in a very sort of small apartment with my parents, and my whole room was pretty early on filled with paper, and any change of apartment is a disaster nightmare, as you can imagine, if you have to carry those books and boxes of books. But it still is. I mean, even though my sort of relationship to magazines has slightly changed, it's probably in relation to what we've just been talking about. I'm bored as well of all those fashion lifestyle magazines that don't have an idea. You know, they're just lifestyle magazines. They don't have a character, really. But I enjoy going into bookstores, whether it's secondhand or new books, and exploring the texture, the culture, the material, the detail of books, for sure. And I like collecting, which is difficult.
What, apart from books, what else do you collect?
What do I collect? Yeah. I think books, actually, well, printed matter is the core of it.
Do you have specialist areas?
Well, books and magazines are the core of it. I also used to collect little things that I find appealing in terms of material or what printing technique, like flyers, business cards. I used to collect those, you know, the little... what's it called? You know, the paper that you find on the, like, next to your bed in a hotel to write on your ideas if you wake up at night. Those, I have a stack of those.
That's what it's for. I didn't realize they saw it, but I was like, why the heck? In terms of books, content, what is there?
Well, I do have a history as a photographer, so there is a certain level of photography books on my shelf. Most recently, I think I'm focusing on like two or three topics. One, that's like personal interest. So there's sculpture is one thing, then the making of books and with a focus on picture editing, how you work with photography or even illustration and to tell a story. And then there's also, a range of books that I'm just buying because of the way they're produced. So there's one shelf that doesn't have a content framework or like a topic, but they're very well done books. So it's like my top three shelves.
And one other thing about, for example, sometimes I notice the Gestalt comes out with one book and then there's a follow-up. It almost becomes like a movie, you know, there's Rocky 1, 2, 3, etc. Do you always, is it also, and in movies we always say, oh, the first one was the best one. Is that also the case with the books?
Well, no, I think it's different. There are certain books that, like the logo series, there's an ongoing development of logos. It's not really that the first one is much better in terms of the content than the second or the third one. It's just a moment in time, and we try to have a slightly different perspective on the content with each of those four current issues. In terms of sales, I guess the first one is still the most successful, but that's because it's available for a longer period of time now. Then there are other titles. I mean, that's similar for a couple of themes almost. And then there are topics that just develop over time. The whole issue of working in space, you know, getting away from the computer into illustration done by hand, into creating little items, objects, and complete spaces in the end. And that's something that we've been looking at over the course of a good 5 years now. And it's been featured again and again and again, but I feel they're always slightly different aspects are in the center of the attention of the book. And I also think it's interesting now to see the development over time. You know, something that started, we did an issue of a magazine-like format called Übersee gestaltet, which had the subtitle From Surface into Space. And that was really just bringing together very different material that we felt had this quality of either exploring or denying space. So from fine art, illustration to urban art, architecture, all that together in one volume. And then we realized that over time, which has nothing to do with that publication, it's just a development in the field, more and more people were exploring space without any architectural training or anything. And that was the same in the art, like going from painting into installation and sculpture again. as well as in design, as well as in typography, as we see here at the conference. And that's interesting to kind of research and document.
Is there a book that you would really love to see being published at, not really Gestalt, but that's not there yet? Is there like a dream project you have in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Well, the question that I keep on asking myself is if it makes sense to produce books that don't have a market. There are certainly topics that I myself would be passionate about, and I would love to see them in the format of a book. But if there's no audience for it, would it still make sense to do it? That's a difficult sort of sidetrack of this question to me. Just right now, I'm super interested in that field of picture editing and telling a story through pictures. So I would love to work on a visual but also kind of theoretical book on this issue and explore it in talking to picture editors right now and is still available, people that worked at like top news magazines, like, I don't know, like Life magazine or Vue magazine back in the days. That's something that I very personally would be super curious about right now. And then I do enjoy exploring the combination of content and production features when they really make sense. You know, we often had people at one point in time asking for stickers being in their books, which is extremely expensive to produce, and you don't sell a single extra book having a sheet of stickers in there.
They requested stickers in their
books? They wanted it, like urban art projects. So they do stickers, and I want stickers in their book. Or we did one book where there was a vinyl, like 7-inch in there, which is, it's a nice item, but it's difficult as a project, as a product again. But at certain points it makes sense to really explore and go beyond just the average cover book cover format. And we just recently did a project for the University of the Arts in Berlin, which is a documentation of one of their projects. And it's basically a fold-out cover and 5 different little magazines in there. So it's very much an object, but in terms of the content, it really makes sense to do it this way. And that's something that I also like to explore, but I don't have a specific topic that I would love to explore that way right now. No.
Okay, thank you.
I should think about it. Thanks.